This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So, does being one of the people in this film get you anything when you go to Starbucks or coffee shop? Do you ever get anything for free?
Not at all.
No, not really. No. You sometimes get to go. You sometimes get to go through the in through the do not pass through this door kind of thing. You know what I mean? It can get you slightly into the.
So there are perks.
Private. There are slight perks. Yeah, slightly into the private areas here and there.
Can you talk about the journey coming to an end? I mean, this has been a huge thing for everybody, and you've been in
People who've been... I wasn't in the first one. But anybody who's been in all what will be eight is called a lifer. Mm-hmm. Did you know that? Have you heard that? But I think I'm an honorary lifer, because I've been in... I will be in seven of the eight. It's going to be... It's going to be difficult for a lot of people. I mean... one of the things that we're not sure about within this industry is whether people will ever make films like this anymore. Mm-hmm. That is, in a sense, studio and construction based in the way this film has been pursued. For example, the Great Hall is now a 9-year-old, 10-year-old set that's been stood, you know, being the Great Hall, standing in for the Great Hall, with things like stone floors, which give kind of good... a good kind of sound and a feeling of reality. It's rooted in the physical reality, the physical world. Now, the way things are going at the moment, that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. In this country, some of the biggest films lately have been motion capture. Mm-hmm. Tintin, for example. It looks like Yellow Submarine's going to go in this country to make mm-hmm. his film. And none of those are going to be physically based. So we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen.
And in terms of the sort of family of Harry Potter, that this is all coming to an end. I mean, yeah. This must be bittersweet for everybody.
Yeah, it is bittersweet for everybody. I mean, I think over these last two films, I have to say, it's been kind of hard work because the films have been amortized. So, I mean, I don't know what call sheet it is today. It's day 200 and something.
What is it?
226. Day 226. That's on first unit. So we're on slate like 2000 and something.
Wow.
And because a lot of these resolution scenes in 7B are big battle scenes and big congregational scenes, and there's been a lot of us in, and so it's ended on a kind of high note, on a social note. Mm-hmm. And I think when we finish, it will be bittersweet, yeah, but there will be a sense of something achieved that's never been achieved before, not eight films with the same cast. Mm-hmm. Apart from Richard Impache. But sorry,
no, I interrupted you, I'm sorry.
That was about it, really. I'm running out of steam there, mate.
I'm curious. You've obviously read the books.
Yeah.
And you obviously have read both scripts for the two movies.
Yeah.
How much... This has been the fans' dream of finally getting two movies to finally be able to capture so much more of the book.
Yeah, yeah.
What can you tell people about what... You know, were there any sequences that, you know, didn't make it that you thought, oh, this might make it, or were there...
I must admit that I try not to do that because it's counterproductive to my input to the film. As most actors will probably tell you, because if you're bringing an editorial mindset to it, it's really no good for your character or your part. So I think all of us tend not to do that. In retrospect, possibly we would do that, but I have to say that I particularly don't do that, because it's important for me to be light on my feet and to be not saying, Mr. Weasley didn't do that, or he wouldn't do that, or why isn't he doing that? Because mm-hmm. that brings a barrier to the performance that you're not being paid for.
Do you get to do some actual big fighting in this film?
Well, yes, we all get, yeah, we... There's a lot of wand work going on, yeah. I've just seen Alan do the stuff he's choreographed, which is very Snape-like, very good, very balletic. Whereas Mr. Weasley, I kind of opted for a sort of... I put my hand behind my back in a slightly formal fencing manner, because I think that's probably what he's like, as he's ministry trained. Mm. And of course the kids get stuck in. Mm-hmm. But then there again, most of us are a little bit older than that. Mm-hmm. And Julie and Helena's fight was pretty spectacular, I have to say.
I'm sure. And you also have some very wrenching emotional scenes.
Oh God, yeah.
With Fred.
Yeah, we've actually done. We've done those. Those are kind of behind us now. But that wasn't very nice. It's not very nice spending days thinking about your children dying. So, yeah, or being injured in the beginning of 7A. Yes. I'm probably sorry. We're not sure about what's going on, about whether they're going to be called, you know, 1 and 2, A and B. I guess it'd be Deathly Hallows 1 and Deathly Hallows 2, but who knows? I don't know whether that decision has been made. I certainly don't know. Mm-hmm.
But it was said, you don't know what day to day if you're going to be filming for movie 1 or 2.
No.
How's that work?
It's okay. It's not been that difficult.
No. Do we know where the first film ends?
It's not being confirmed. Thank you.
Is that the staple answer that everyone has?
No, it's true. It really has not been confirmed yet. I mean, it will be the natural break, and you can't always see rhythmically until you've cut it. You know, at least in a kind of rough cut. I don't know how far they're on with a rough cut. They must be getting there.
Yeah, I mean, they're always editing as we go. They always have done in all of the Harry Potter films. But then once we wrap on production, they'll continue editing in town. I think they've got an idea that they genuinely don't know what
it's going to be. Natural that it would be at some, like after the bank robbery or something.
Something like that, yeah. I mean, it will be... you rest assured it will be a good point. They're not going to just make an arbitrary cut. You know, it's going to be to hold. The other thing is that there is still quite a lot of 2 to go in, so that will have a bearing on where 1 ends. Mm-hmm. Because they've got to be, you know, both balls have got to bounce.
Right.
I'm curious, when you were given the script for part 1, were you given both scripts, and
we weren't given both scripts.
So you were given part 1 first?
Not necessarily. Honestly, there were parts of... This has been an enormous undertaking to split a book. Firstly, to split a book, any book, into 2 that's not naturally been done by the author is a major undertaking. And to do that cinematographically is also another major undertaking. So I think you probably have an image of control and kind of overview that doesn't really exist. It's also a lot more collaborative than you think. It's not like it doesn't go book, script, you know. I mean, the director has a bearing on the script before and during, you know, and the producers as well. So these things tend to be much more organic than perhaps you would imagine. In terms of, and it's particularly in terms of day and week to week shooting, where, and I'm sorry to make it sort of sound vague, but it's not vague, but it's not exact. You know what I mean? It's not like chronologically kind of systematic, which a lot of people would like it to be, particularly parts of design and stuff. But
has it been easier in some ways to have one director on the last?
Well, yeah.
Four films now, as opposed to writing somebody new every time.
That's meant we can do this. You know, that's been a factor of the last of these 4 films. We couldn't have done because before it was you know, shoot, edit, you know, and then just at the end of the edit, pre-produce, mm-hmm. and then new directing. You know, apart from the first 2, because of Chris,
right.
But with Alfonso, Mike, and then David's first one, they were kind of like that. But then it's become much more of a kind of rolling process, which has meant I have a feeling that it would have been very difficult to, you know, we would probably not be this far down the line if David hadn't been on, you know, taken on the enormous task of finishing the project. But then also the continuity of David Heyman and David Barron's also been very important indeed. So that team, the 3 Davids, has been a pretty spectacularly effective, really. And one thing that we all find quite amazing is their stamina. Particularly David Yates, who a lot of directors you work with towards the end of a big project start to look kind of, you know, eaten. But it doesn't eat David. David feeds on it. It's amazing, really. He's quite got an extraordinary rhythm through this. So and he even keeps his enthusiasm. So
your character's really gotten a chance to grow so much in the last few films, and his role has become expanded. Are you pleased
kind of.
with
yeah.
that?
I am. Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to have killed more people in 7B, but then that's also meant you see more of Kingsley, which has been great, because he's kind of always in the sort of this brooding presence in the background, whereas this time he gets to kick ass, apparently.
Of all the productions that you've done so far, which aspect of the film do you like that you've shot so far the best?
I try not to do that. I try not to favoritize. I mean, the thing I've enjoyed most is the collaborative process of working with the whole team. And that sounds kind of trite, but I'm sorry, but that's the truth. It really is. And also, it's been what's been great is different sets and different environments. You know, the wedding was great. That was the Quidditch tent we had. Mm-hmm. Which was great fun. We loved that. So the design for us has been fantastic experience, and especially props and things. When you get, I mean, everybody loves their wand, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were doing work with the brooms, which are all they're fantastic pieces of prop making. So that was great fun. And Mad Eyes is titanium. I mean, it is made of titanium, so that's been marvellous. I don't know what that's going to, you know, with the rise of CGI and motion capture, that's a kind of part of the richness for actors that's lost, because it does connect you physically.
Is the Ministry of Magic set still?
It's been rebuilt. Yeah, we're about to shoot on that. I'm about to shoot on that. That's a spectacular set. That was amazing set, yeah, yeah, yeah.
As an actor, I imagine you've never had an experience like this before.
I've worked on pretty...
Can you imagine ever having an experience like this again?
I've done a lot of these kind of films. I mean, I was in 101 Dalmatians and The Borrowers. And 101 Dalmatians was at the time a pretty big build, when we build. I've done quite a few of those that have been shot in this country. Shakespeare in Love, where we rebuilt the globe and stuff like that. But this is a different deal, yeah.
Can you
even Batman was and at the time Batman, when shot in this country, was like, what are you, you crazy? But this is Leavesden is full. We're now using Pinewood as well.
Can you talk about the kids? Starting
they're
from
not kids anymore, no. Right.
Starting from number two, when they were, I don't know, 13, 12, and now they're full-grown adults. Talk about what you've seen change in them.
They all went through adolescence, which was a bit tricky here and there.
Yeah,
they've been great. We've had great fun. When Dan and Rupert were little, after lunch was always useless for the first bit. It's a bit like, do you remember being at school after lunch in that afternoon bit where you were either really, you went kind of tired, and then you went really giggly, and then it was time to go home, you know that? So there used to be an hour where they'd just be like, you'd be like, okay, Chris Columbus, we go, come on, guys, and action. There's nothing you could do, it was great fun.
But now...
Yeah.
Is there anyone in particular who you've kind of developed a almost fatherly bond with?
All of them, really. I mean, I have been, Ginger Leader, Papa Weasley. It used to be quite funny because it's a long old haul, especially when you're an adolescent, pre-adolescent, night shoots and stuff. And I used to have to go, it'd be like, come on, everybody's been up all night. But I honestly say they've all been brilliant. And just recently, I went out with the twins and Rupert, and we went out for a curry and a pint. That was hilarious. And there were a load of teenagers kind of with their phones going, "Can we?" And they're really polite. "Can we take a picture of you, the guys?" And they go, and one girl turned to me and said, "And your dad." So it's been like that.
You were the real Weasleys.
Yeah. It's been an absolute pleasure, I have to say.
I know you got to go, but I'm just one quick little question. I'm just curious about what it's like when you're doing this kind of a shoot and the rehearsal process as actors. Obviously, you're shooting for 200 and something days. You can't rehearse this whole thing. Could you just talk about how it is when you first get to set in the morning, how you...
You get to set, you do line up, which is rehearsal, and then you shoot the scene, and that will probably take a week because these are all big scenes. So it's like that. That's what it's like. It's daily. You know what I mean? It's like, keep going.
Well, how many... what's the most pages you've been able to do in a day? I know you got to go.
We usually do... like most films, we'll do a page a day, which is 2 minutes. But sometimes less than that.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Not at all. Thank you. Thanks very much. Thanks, guys.